Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery channel.
Hello, bro potatoes. You're listening to Garbled Twistery, and we are back to our regularly scheduled programming. The election of 1808 is coming up, and we have some fresh faces to look at, as well as some old reliables to check up on, too. So now it's time to start things up with the VP candidates. Who are we looking at today? John Adams. No, not that John Adams. I'm talking about the one that works at Quiznos. Yeah, John Quiznos Adams. They have a pepper bar, you know. So, the story of Johnny Quiznos starts when he's born into the well-to-do Quincy family. You know, the Quincys from Bleach. Who were his parents, you ask? Well, remember that other John Adams, Prezzy-Wezzy Lawyer Man number two? That's his pops. And remember OG Johnny's wife, Abigail? She is now the mother in this situation. And you know his family has that old money, so he was probably getting private tutors all the time and stuff, you know, the works. But when he started learning how to read and write and stuff, he got himself a diary and wrote that thing until he literally died. When he was a kid, he grew up with the fam on the farm in Braintree till he was like 10. His dad wasn't around all that much, though, because there was literally a revolution happening. But he did shove a bunch of Greek books down his son's throat until there actually was an acquired taste for them. So, anyways, his dad has to go on a bunch of business trips to Europe and the Netherlands as a fancy pants diplomat. And as we know, he took the little tyke with him. But these weren't fun little vacations at the gift shop, no siree. Johnny Quiznos was out here learning how to speak pig Latin and speak like a baguette and even how to talk like a Caesar salad. He went on to like a bunch of different colleges too. Like, what a nerd! Johnny Quiznos was the secretary to some Russian dude named Francis or Dana, I forget. Then he went back to Neverland. Then he was dragged to T-Land, and eventually his fam realized that they were doing too much. Like, sure, Johnny Quiznos was having fun on the other side of the pond, but come on, send the boy home. Let him learn a politic or two and make something of himself. So, Johnny Quiznos is back in the States, and he's a freaking nerd, so he applies to go to Harvard Yard. And they not only let him in, they let him in as a junior, because they saw how much he was nerding out across the pond and were impressed. And boy, did he have a ball. He joined the pie-eating Beta Kappa Club, and he was literally the second nerdiest nerd out of all the nerds who graduated with him. I'm serious! Anyways, after college, he decides to study
lawyer stuff.
Yep, that's still a freaking thing. Like founding father, like son of father, founding father. Am I right?
What?
Anyways, he studied law with some lawyer guy named Philomenonius Parsonominus Expecto Patronum, whatever. All I know is that at first, Johnny Quiznos didn't have a high opinion of this fancy-pantsy U.S. Constitutie, but eventually he felt better about it, and his dad became the freaking vice principal of the country, but we knew that was going to happen at some point in the story. But anyways, 1790 comes around, and Johnny Quiznos starts up his own lawyer office in Massachusetts, just like his father. I mean, at first it was hard, like these things tend to be, but he really found his stride and eventually was even able to stop using mommy and daddy's purse to buy everything. Good for him! Good for him! Okay, so I bet you're all wondering how this crazy nerd ended up being a vice principal candidate. Well, the thing is, at first, Johnny Quiznos didn't really want to be super directly involved in all the wild, haughty, gaudy nonsense that goes with politics. I mean, he was busy being a lawyer anyways. He did write some essays on the DL, though, and they talked about how T-Land was like the cooler older brother to Baguette Land. Oh, and when that French guy, Garnachet, tried to pull a fast one on Jorge Washington and get everyone in the U.S. all involved in the French Revolution in breach of the contract, Johnny Quiznos had some choice words for him in his essays. Yes, sirree. I mean, obviously, Jorge saw that the vice principal's kid just couldn't freaking separate himself from politics. That itch was there. So you know what Jorge did? He gave little Johnny Quiznos a job. as ambassador to Neverland. I mean, he didn't know if he really wanted the job, but Father Johnny was like, quote, "The president is literally offering you a job. Don't be a spoiled brat," unquote. So yeah, Johnny Quiznos took the job. But even while Johnny was in Neverland, he still wasn't all about the U.S. getting all involved in the European drama. And the reason why was simply because it would be a freaking waste of money. But anyways, his main job as ambassador to Neverland was to, essentially, beg for money. Oh, on the way there, he did run into Johnny J and took a gander at that crazy J treaty with T-Land, and it looked fine to him. He didn't really understand why it was getting so much hate. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just a trade agreement, am I right? But anyways, Johnny Quiznos was spending the winter in T-Land, and he met a girl named Louisa, and he literally threw a ring at her really quickly, and then she caught the ring, and that's when they knew it was time to go to knot tying class together. I mean, his parents were like, "You're marrying a tea sipper in this political climate?" And Johnny Quiznos was like, "Yeah, and y'all ain't gonna stop me." I mean, Quiznos was right. They got married in that hollow tower that should have been replaced with a Quiznos by now. And after the wedding, Louisa's dad straight up fled the country because the tea-sipping IRS was after him. And Johnny Quiznos didn't even get the freaking money that his father-in-law promised to him. Jeez. But at the end of the day, Johnny Quiznos didn't get married for the money, so it's whatever, yo. So 1796 comes around, and Jorge hooks up Johnny Quiznos with another ambassador job. This time, he would be asking for money from Portugal. Scratch that, Prussia. Yeah, when his dad won the election, he switched the country his boy would be working in. I mean, it felt kind of shady to Johnny Quiznos, though, because the job was literally coming from his dad. But he took it anyway and went across the pond with his little brother Tommy, probably to ask for money and write weekly updates and whatnot. And I mean, he was all right at his job, I guess. Like, he did get a treaty signed for Prussia, but he couldn't quite find the food hack for Swedish meatballs, you know? He couldn't get a treaty for them. And the dude was already writing letters too. But when Tommy J won in 1800, Johnny Quiznos was fired super fast. Super fast. You know how it is. New management. Daddy can't help you anymore. Sorry, not sorry. So Johnny Quiznos goes home to eat some Boston cream pie and get some new staplers for the law offices of Quincy Quiznos. But just as soon as he got that started, he ends up in the Massachusetts Senate. I mean, he tried to land a spot in the big boy House of Reps, but that was just a fail. I mean, it's too soon. You just got fired, man. But not too long after that, he ended up in the big boy Senate because, you know, patience is a virtue at Quiznos. And even though Johnny Quiznos didn't really buy into the whole political frat house drama, he decided to join the suffering Federalists on the way into the Senate. Then again, he did side with the Federalists when Tommy J was trying to kick out a judge simply for being too unlike him politically. And the thing is, even though he absolutely hated the idea of Tommy J being Prezi-Wezi in 1800, the Federalists really didn't like his guts either. Like, they didn't like his thoughts on how to deal with other countries, and he didn't like how busted the Federalist Party was to begin with. And there was this guy named Timmy Pickey, who was a straight-up Federalist leader, but Johnny Quiznos didn't like how much Picky Timmy loved sipping tea. And to top it off, Johnny Quiznos actually liked the Louisiana Purchase. So yeah, of course the Federalists are gonna reject the dude, but wait, there's more! In 1806, the tea sippers were out here breaking promises and kidnapping people from boats, so there was a trade-restricting act made to punish them hard for it, and Johnny Quiznos was the only Federalist guy who voted yay. And when the whole embargo was put on the table a year later, and Johnny Quiznos voted yay again, Massachusetts straight up elected someone else before his term even ended, and he had to straight up resign from the Senate. Yeah. Here's a travel tip for Massachusetts. Don't show up doing any Democrat-Republican nonsense. Mkrrr. But enough of the political drivel-dravel. What else was Johnny Quiznos doing? Well, while he was doing senator stuff, he was also a super nerdy college university professor who taught logic, whatever that means. I mean, I guess you could take the nerd away from the books, but you can't take the books out of the nerd. He also taught people how to talk good at a separate university. Jeez, can someone put a leash on this entity? You know, I bet you the reason why Johnny Quiznos was such an individual on political issues is because he was still out here going to universities and doing nerd stuff while in office. I mean, even when everybody dropped the whole classical idea of citizenship, Quiznos was out here making commercials that said, quote, "We are not Huns." But yeah, Johnny Quiznos was all about getting everybody together and shouting their opinions out loud like nobody's business in a public setting. According to Quiznos, that's the old school way, and that should be the American way. It turns out all that idealism is going to be flushed down the toilet, but I don't want to get too ahead of myself. If you've got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, is Kim Possible overrated? You can find Garble Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbletwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q at garbletwistery.net. Also, I have a Patreon, so if you go to patreon.com, find Garble Twistery, and become a patron, you'll gain not only the access, but you'll gain the ability to determine what topics get to be Patreon-exclusive bonus content. I know, exciting. There are more details about how this will work on the Patreon page, but wait! There's more! If you become a patron of $5 or more, you'll get full access to an entire Patreon-exclusive season titled Garbled Twistery, A Second Look. These episodes will primarily be remakes of my earlier, sloppier episodes, along with many entirely new episodes to tag along. And now, per tradition, a little snippet of the Spider-Man bonus episode.
Spider-Man.
He knows how to make apple products and make bleach, and he knows how to triangulate a rock, and he knows that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell, and he knows how to make a castle out of cards, and he knows quadrags, and he even knows how to make robots! So yeah, he's super smart.
Wait, what?
If you want to find out who I'm even talking about here, head on over to Patreon. Anyways, next time, we're looking at VP candidate number 2 for 1808, a man near and venison to my heart, Henry Dearborn. Get hyped.
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
Like founding father, like father, father, like son of father, founding father, father.